This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Across the country, there's a widespread outbreak of the flu. That includes cases in Indiana and Michigan. New numbers from Indiana show that nearly a third of all flu deaths this season have affected people you wouldn't normally think. Local health officials say flu cases have slowed down for now, but the season still has a ways to go.
The flu is expected to pick up again in the next month or so. The most recent data shows people ages 25 to 49 have been hardest hit this season. It's something officials are tracking closely in hopes of controlling the virus's reach.
We're already halfway through the flu season, and health officials say there's some cause for concern. Indiana saw a spike in flu deaths at the end of December and the beginning of this month, worse than in the 2017-2018 flu season.
Right after the holidays, it looked like our pattern was very much mirroring that.
So far this year, there have been 31 flu-related deaths, up from 8 at the same time last year. Even more concerning is the increase in deaths among people ages 25 to 49, usually considered the healthiest. 10 people in that range have died so far this season, more than any of the past 3 years combined.
So it is striking that there's this pretty marked increase in deaths in, as you said, what we would normally consider a pretty healthy population.
Dr. Mark Fox is the interim health officer at the St. Joseph County Health Department. He says officials don't really know why so many seemingly healthy people died from the flu, but he says that age group tends to vaccinate less.
That combination of severe illness and an age group that tends to be under-immunized probably is what's reflected in those numbers.
Fox says the flu has subsided in Indiana for now, but he expects its prevalence to ramp up by mid-February. He says it's never too late to get the vaccine, as it will lessen the flu's symptoms.
Even though our activity has dropped off a little bit, I think people who have had the flu have actually been pretty sick with it.
Now, as for Michigan, only 2 child flu deaths have been reported. Numbers for specific age groups weren't readily available. You can still get a flu vaccine from your doctor, some area pharmacies, and the health department itself.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. Purdue Polytechnic High School has plans to partner with South Bend Schools inside Washington High School, or perhaps operate on its own. It has 2 campuses in Indianapolis right now. WSBT 22's Tolly Taylor looks at how charter schools already here in South Bend are performing.
Charter schools are public schools that receive federal and state funding but operate independently. There are currently 104 public charter schools in Indiana.
At a recent public forum, the topic of debate quickly became whether South Bend schools should partner with Purdue Polytechnic High School. The charter school already has its charter, so it will be coming to South Bend. But opponents don't want it to be part of South Bend Schools and inside Washington High School. Kristen Howbold is a computer science teacher at Riley High School. She feels Purdue Polytechnic would be doing the exact same thing she already does.
And so hearing about the potential that there would be this program trying to do essentially the same things that we would be partnering with was very concerning to me.
But don't mistake her concern about a charter school joining the district for a fear of competition.
I think that our end results, our end goals are nearly the same, and I think that we're doing a better job.
Several local and Indianapolis-based education activists shared different concerns. Panelists voiced concerns about some charter schools having school board meetings only a few times a year and lacking transparency, about teachers not being allowed to unionize or collectively bargain, about cherry-picking which students they allow in, and about whether Purdue Polytechnic is prepared to properly care for a diverse student body.
I cannot stress this enough, both as an educator and as a woman of color. Recruiting students for the mere sake of diversity does not lead to equitable outcomes on its own.
With the prospect of a new charter school coming to the area, I wanted to take a closer look at the charter schools that are already here. Success Academy Primary School, Career Academy Middle School, and Career Academy High School. The elementary and middle schools were founded in 2015 and the high school in 2011. The elementary school is the biggest, with more than 600 kids, while the middle and high schools together make up about 700 students.
We're serving, a population of students that is, mostly on the west side of town here, and it's, we're trying to make better opportunities for those students, and I think we're really doing that.
I asked Hamill about some of the criticism from the public forum, like collective bargaining.
They do not. Nope. Our teachers are not part of the union.
He says the 9-person school board is appointed for 2-year terms, not elected. and the board gives advance notice for its meetings once a month, with minutes from the meetings posted on the school website. But he pushed back on those who say there's a lack of diversity training at charter schools, saying it's part of his teacher's professional development.
So, you know, doing, you know, diversity training specifically, you know, with all of our teachers, I think we have a really good onboarding process for new teachers.
Hamill added that teachers get additional diversity training through the school's mentorship programs and team teacher meetings. But what about the charter schools accused of cherry-picking students?
We're open to all students. So, you know, part of being a public charter school is, you know, we take students on a first-come, first-served basis. So, I mean, literally anybody that applies, you know, we take them in the order that they come.
So how are charter school students performing compared to traditional public school students? Because the 2019 iLearn scores are currently being contested in the state legislature, I looked at the percent of elementary school students who passed both math and English for the 2018 ISTEP. As you can see, Success Academy scored worse than PHM, Mishawaka, and South Bend elementary school students. If we move to middle school, Career Academy students were about even with Mishawaka students and scored worse than PHM students on the 2018 ISTEP. But Career Academy scored better than South Bend middle school students. Finally, I looked at the 2019 ISTEP when I compared high schoolers, for one important reason. I wanted to see how Purdue Polytechnic compared, and this was its first year taking the test. As you can see, Career Academy high schoolers had higher pass rates for math and English than Mishawaka and South Bend students, and lower than PHM students. And if we add in Purdue Polytechnic scores, we see their Indianapolis students were on par with Career Academy's high schoolers.
That's WSBT 22's Tali Taylor reporting. A new position within the St. Joseph County Police Department aims to keep people out of jail and provide them with support if they're suffering from a mental illness. It's called a mental health liaison. More than 1,100 people were committed last year for mental health issues.
The goal is to help those dealing with mental illness to get and stay on the correct medication they need so that they don't go to jail but are instead rehabilitated.
Police department now has a new position. A mental health liaison whose job is to make sure those that need mental health treatment get it.
Stay on their treatment plan. So if we start seeing somebody that's not coming to their appointments or whatnot, they might be able to reach out to me, hey, you know, can you find this person? Find out if they need help with rides.
Corporal Daniel Benicki has been with the department for more than 20 years and says someone receiving the correct treatment can make the difference between a normal life and a life behind bars.
I've dealt with a few people in the community where when they're on their medications, they're just fantastic. They're nice, everyday people, talk to you, come up, shake your hand. When they're off their medication, they're a completely different person. They're yelling, screaming, hollering, become violent.
But Nikki knows firsthand the impact mental health issues can have on people.
I have some family members that have had issues, you know, obviously mental health issues, so it is something. And I've got a nephew that has autism as well. So I'm very passionate about it.
He says that as more people improve their mental health, it will help make it a safer community for everyone.
You can keep them people from committing crimes, you know, especially petty ones, you know, trespassing or minor thefts. Them officers can concentrate on higher crime areas, bigger crimes, you know, try to do that kind of prevention.
And for those that need the help, the police are here to help you avoid jail.
Kind of get rid of that old stigma that, you know, the police or the white van's coming to take me away. We don't want that. We want people to be able to look out and, you know, reach out to us, say, you know what, I do need that help, and they might be able to help me.
But Nikki will also be working with inmates that have opioid addictions, and he'll lead Project Lifesaver, a program that makes it easier to find residents that have a risk of wandering off.
WSBT 22's Brooke O'Daniel reporting. Congresswoman Jackie Walorski has formally filed to run for re-election in Indiana's 2nd District. She stopped by WSBT 22's First in the Morning Wednesday to talk with Bob Montgomery.
Indiana Congresswoman Jackie Walorski now announcing she is running for another term. The Republican seeking a fifth term in office representing Indiana's 2nd District in Washington, of course, North Central Indiana. The campaign reports it's raised $360,000 in the last quarter of last year, bringing the total cash on hand to $850,000. Two Democrats so far have announced plans to run for the nomination in the May primary, and Congresswoman Walorski joins us live. We appreciate it.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks.
Why are you running
invite.
Again? Why are you running?
Well, you know, I think we've accomplished a lot, and I'm grateful to represent Hoosiers in the Indiana 2nd District. We've accomplished a lot, but there's more to do, and I think under this president, we have open doors and openness to be able to get more things done this year. And I'll just tell you really quickly that, you know, some of the things we're working on forward in the year 2020 are things like paid time off. You know, it's pro-family, it's pro-worker, and it's a way, you know, where a company can say, if you want to take time off to have a child, to adopt a child, to adopt a foster child, you know, we're gonna allow you to do that in a paid setting where you don't have to choose between work and having kids. You can do both. And things.
And that's regardless of company size?
That's regardless of company size. And I think you're going to see, you know, the president talks about another middle class tax cut. We talk about infrastructure. We talk about school bus safety. The bill that I dropped last year in relation to the kids we lost right at the bus stop, that bill is actually moving this year. So there's a lot of things that we've done and been able to accomplish, but there's more to do. And I think that, you know, it's an honor for me, and I'm grateful to be in Congress to fight for fellow Hoosiers.
You are running for your fifth term in office. In 2015, you were a co-sponsor of legislation that said term limits should hit once you get six terms in office. Do you still believe that?
I'm running for my fifth term in office, Bob, and I think that term limits are good. And there's a lot of bills filed at the federal level. And I think that, you know, when you have an open window and you have a president that's workable and has an agenda that is absolutely pro-economy, and you have an economy that's moving like it is today, I'm doing my part to make sure that we are winners in the Indiana 2nd District when it comes to jobs, quality of life, and, you know, the things that people actually care about and the things that make a difference to Hoosiers when they look around and say, who's fighting for me? In this mess in Washington right now, who's fighting for me? And I'm honored to do that. I'm very grateful to be there.
I wanted to ask you about the mess in Washington in a moment. But if let's per se that is your philosophy, that the Congress shouldn't be a lifetime appointment, are you saying that you're starting to come to the end of your term, assuming that you win this fifth term?
I think that, you know, I'm doing what I said I would do. I'm going there and I'm fighting for my fellow Hoosiers and I'm showing tangible results. And you got to take every year at a time. I don't take anything for granted. This is a swing seat in the state of Indiana, and it swings, as you know, because you follow this closely, swings every term. I'm fighting for Hoosiers. I'm working for people and I'm doing what I said I would do. And you know what? At the end of the day, voters decide that, and I'm working for them, and it's an honor to work for them.
Okay, let's talk about the impeachment issue. You've already voted as a member of the House to not impeach the president. Are you a Republican like a Jim Jordan who feels the president has done nothing wrong and this is nothing more than politics? Or are you a Republican who feels this is politics? The president may have crossed a bit of a line, but it doesn't rise to the level of, in essence, a political death sentence with impeachment.
So you know me, Bob, I'm a bottom liner. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And I'm a Republican who says that this is a political, partisan, absolute charade. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And while Americans and our fellow Hoosiers sent us there to get things done, and I've been able to come out of there with a record amount of things done, but we're wasting time and we're wasting money. You know, nobody went there except the Democrats and basically said to the American people, day one, we're going to impeach this president no matter what. And we're going to make sure that he's gone forever. And they're doing exactly what they said they would do. At the same time that they're embracing a far left agenda with socialism and those kinds of characteristics involved.
But are you comfortable with what the president did with Ukraine in withholding aid and request for, based upon the president's own call, an investigation into his political rival? Does that make you comfortable?
I'll tell you what makes me comfortable is we have an economy that's moving. We've been able to repeal in just 2019, while this is actually going on, repeal the Obamacare health taxes that literally the medical device tax that affected Hoosiers, the Cadillac tax that affected workers all over the country. We repealed those. So in 2020, while the argument is continuing and politically playing out, we're going to see health care premiums finally starting to decrease. We're going to see the things that I care about, the school bus safety and the things that we're actually moving right now. That's what America cares about. You know, I spent Black Friday walking around and looking and hanging out with probably 2,000 Hoosiers at different local shopping stores. And you know what they said to me? They weren't talking about impeaching the president. They were talking about they have money to spend at Christmas time, their 401ks are booming, and they are absolutely happy and doing well and thriving. And I crossed that line into that bubble of the Beltway, and it is a partisan political game, and we need to stop it. I can't wait till this is over in the Senate to get back to work.
I'm just about out of time. I need to ask you one real quick final question. It needs to be a short answer as well. The tariffs issue.
Yes.
Obviously, you've been critical of the White House for how this thing has played out. Are we still being impacted? Are you satisfied with where it's going?
We've made great strides. In some cases, we've been able to save the RV industry $1 million a month because of the work on tariffs that I had the privilege of being involved in leading. So I think we keep our oversight and we continue to just trust and verify as we go. But I think the future is bright for our economy and bright for the world on tariffs and trade.
All right, Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob.
As of today, there are two Democrats vying for the Democratic nomination to oppose Walorski this fall.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.